Hello, good morning, and welcome back to Morning Ray, or welcome to Morning Ray. I'm your host, Leonora Lana, and today's episode is going to be discussing the five things I do to continue to be successful. These are five things that I prioritize in my day-to-day life on a weekly basis, some on a daily basis, to ensure I'm taking care of myself and allow me to continue to flourish and grow and push myself in my career. And this can apply to you whether you work for yourself, if you're in school, if you work a 9-to-5, whatever your job may be, this is applicable in your own way. So I'm excited to talk to you guys about this. And I want to apologize in advance, number one, for not having an episode last week. What I thought was a cold ended up being COVID. You guys, it actually feels criminal having COVID in 2024, but I have had a cold for the past week. It started off with a sore throat and then I started to get a bit congested, slight cough, no fever, no aches, but my head was aching. And I was like, okay, that kind of feels like COVID a bit. I'm just going to take a test. But my tests were expired. They expired back in March, I think, and it was positive. But I was like, okay, it's expired. You can get false results. So I'm going to order new tests. So I ordered new COVID tests, instantly positive. So yeah, this is really embarrassing. I have COVID in 2024. I don't know how I got it. I have been taking the subway again, so I'm just gonna blame it on that, being exposed to more people. But nonetheless, we are totally fine. But I want to apologize because my voice probably sounds a bit congested. I didn't want to record last week because it was super raspy, and now it sounds congested. So my apologies. I hope it doesn't bother you too much. I just really want to get an episode out for you guys, especially because this will be my second last episode before I'm away for Euro Summer, for Kaylee's wedding. I'm going to London and then Italy and then back to London. I'm doing a little solo trip to London. Originally was going to be visiting a friend, but now it's just a solo trip. And I have always wanted to do a solo trip, and this kind of just forced me into one. I've never been to London. I've never been anywhere in Europe. I've never been to Italy before. It's also going to be my 25th birthday on August 6th, which is like the start of all the wedding celebrations for Kaylee and Zach. So it will just be a super fun next 2 weeks. I'm going to be in London for 5 days, and then I'm in Italy for, I think, 5 or 6 days, and then I'm back to London for another 4 or 5 days. So we have some fun travel content coming up. I think I'm going to vlog it for YouTube. You guys are always begging me for more YouTube videos, and I definitely, as I always say, I want to get back on it, but it's just a million one things over here in a one-woman show. But I'm definitely thinking I'm gonna document it on YouTube. I love documenting my travels on YouTube, especially because this will be my first solo travel experience. Like, technically LA back in November, if you've been following me along for that long. In November I went to LA and that was kind of a solo trip, but I don't really count it because one, I have quite a few friends there, two, I've been there before, and three, I was staying at my friend's place, she just wasn't there. Versus London, I've never been to before. I don't really have any friends there. I have like family friends, like my mom's childhood friends live there. She's not going to be there, so it's truly going to be a solo trip in a place I've never been before. So I'm super excited. I think this will be really good for me. And honestly, it's been really scary paying for all the hotels. I have never spent money like this on a trip before all at once. I'm usually pretty frugal when it comes to spending money, but I think, like, I just keep telling myself, when am I going to be single in my 20s again, traveling solo in London in Europe? And it's just an incredible experience that I have always wanted to do. And here I am now approaching that, and I'm just super excited. I've been building out my itinerary. I've been putting lists of restaurants that I want to go to, coffee shops. You guys know I love to tour a bunch of different coffee shops in whatever city I'm in, and I feel like London has great coffee. I know I'm definitely going to have to make a packing list before this trip because I have so many different outfits for Kaylee's bachelorette and then the wedding. There's so many different themes, and then I want to make sure I have cute London style outfits for London. So definitely going to be lots of fun. I ordered a bunch of dresses for the bachelorette and the wedding, and I'm so excited. That was definitely stressful. I did not realize there were so many themes, and realized earlier this week that I had to get certain colored dresses and things like that. So I sorted that all out and made sure that was figured out. And they're arriving early next week, like a few days from when you're listening to this. And I'm so excited to show you guys all my fits on my Instagram, on TikTok and everything. And I don't know, I'm just so excited for London. Everyone keeps telling me if you like Toronto, if you love New York, you'll love London. It's like the European version. And I'm so excited. My mom loves London. And I feel like we like a lot of the same things when it comes to traveling and visiting cities. So I'm super excited to get to experience this and to come home and to share my experiences with her, because I know when she was younger, she traveled a lot. So I'm super excited to do that and just have this experience under my belt. If any of you are listening and you live in London or you've been to London and you have recommendations for me, I would greatly appreciate that. Definitely open to anything and everything. I'm also going to try go on some dates when I'm there, maybe meet new friends. I don't know. I'm going to try out workout studios. I'm going to go run in Hyde Park. I don't know what else I'll get up to, but I'm definitely going to take the tube and get the full London experience. On to my current faves. I have been loving strawberry Greek yogurt for a while, but I decided to get some strawberries since they're in season, and just I've been obsessed with just strawberry Greek yogurt with cut fresh strawberries on top, and it's just delicious, like almost putting more strawberries in yogurt. It is so good. If you want to know specifically what Greek yogurt, I get the Liberté strawberry Greek yogurt cups, and I just do one of those with a bunch of strawberries, like probably 3 or 4 strawberries chopped up on top. I like to slice them. So good. I finished the book Just for the Summer by Abby Jimenez in less than 2 days. You guys know it took me forever to read the 4th Magnolia Parks book. I was literally reading it from March until this month. So for me to then finish a book in less than 2 days, crazy, definitely got me out of my reading slump. I'm now reading the 5th Magnolia Parks book, Into the Dark by Jessa Hastings, and it's pretty good so far. It's definitely a thicker book. I find that, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting over the writing of Jessa Hastings for Magnolia Parks, because I'm definitely not like feeling a desire to like binge it as much as I did with Just for the Summer. I don't know if it's just a me thing. I still love the book and I want to finish it, but I'm just not like binging it. Let me know if you have read it and felt the same way, but it's kind of funny because I feel like Magnolia Parks is the British version of Gossip Girl, and I'm also rewatching Gossip Girl on Netflix right now since it's back on there. So I'm like reading the British Gossip Girl and watching the original Gossip Girl, and it's kind of fun. And I think it'll also be fun reading this book going into traveling in London, and it's cool because I'm starting to recognize the places that they're referring to from building my itinerary, and maybe I'll check out some of those places that they mention in the book. But love that. And last current fave is just like leaning into my feminine energy. I've been into wearing more dresses and skirts and really just dressing more classy and wearing heels and sandals and flats over sneakers, which is a pretty big deal for me. I'm literally a sneakerhead. I will wear sneakers whenever I can. And even today I was asking my friend Sid about sandals and what I should get and everything. And she's like, I have never seen you wear sandals. And she is literally right. I never wear sandals. But just leaning into my feminine energy and how I'm dressing and how I'm acting, being softer, gentler, kinder, letting the man lead, building a home. I've really been loving having fresh flowers, as you guys know, like taking care of my space, cooking again. It feels really good. And I don't know, I feel a lot more at ease and I kind of love it. But let's get into the bulk of the episode. The reason why you probably clicked on this episode, the 5 things I do to continue to be successful. The first off, and you guys probably saw this coming, seeing as this is like the epitome of me and the basis of my brand and my platform on here, but my morning routine. I think a morning routine is so important. I've said this time and time again. It really does set you up for success. It helps ground you. It helps set the tone for the rest of your day and allows you to fill up your cup before you give to others. You really cannot pour from an empty cup. You can't give into your career, into your friendships, your relationships, whatever it may be, if you're pouring from an empty cup. I love to wake up by 8 a.m., although I did not today. I slept in pretty late because I have been feeling a bit under the weather. But waking up by 8, I feel like the earlier I wake up, the more productive I feel, the better I feel about myself. And I just like having time for myself in the morning. And I feel like when I sleep in, I feel like I'm behind and that I'm sluggish and slow. So waking up by 8 a.m., making my bed as soon as I wake up, I think a clear space equals a clear mind. And there's numerous studies that show that making your bed is linked to higher levels of productivity. It's also so much nicer to come home to at the end of the day and to get into a made bed. Like, think about getting into like your fitted sheet. It's all tight and snug and you feel like all cozy in your bed. It just feels so much better. I always get ready. I think if you look good, you feel more confident, and that energy ripples into whatever you have going on that day. So I do my skincare, I do my makeup, my hair, I shower if I need to. I get dressed. I like to make my coffee and breakfast. Making my coffee is a little morning ritual for me. I love to do that. And I also love to listen to a podcast while I'm getting ready, whether it's something for entertainment, educational. I love listening usually either to What We Said with Chelsea Jade and JC Marie or the Mel Robbins podcast. I also really like Peyton Sardin. Her podcast is Note to Self, but I'll usually put on one of those three, or if there's a Skinny Confidential episode that is super interesting to me, I'll put that on. And I usually do that while I'm getting dressed and making my coffee and everything. I find that if I don't have a podcast playing, sometimes I feel really antsy and I just want to get to doing work because I feel like it's taking too long for me to get ready, even though I know I will feel so much better and more productive and confident in myself if I'm ready. And I also value self-care. So by listening to a podcast, it's almost like habit stacking. I'm stacking the habit of getting ready and taking care of myself with learning something new or just being entertained. But that way, I also get to stay on top of and up to date with all my podcasts, which is really nice. I do think also being in silence has its benefits. So some mornings I do get ready in silence, but I do love listening to a podcast while I get ready in the morning. Morning routine, I do this every single day, no matter if I'm working, no matter if I'm lounging, even if I'm sick. Like, I got ready today. Does my makeup and getting ready part of my routine differ from a day-to-day basis? Yes, of course, but I always clean up and freshen up in the morning, make my coffee, have my breakfast. It just sets you on the right foot for the rest of your day, no matter what you are doing, even if you're on vacation, if you're going into the office, if you're working from home, if you have a day off, whatever it may be. It really just sets the tone and it shows yourself that you're taking time to care about yourself and take care of yourself and look good, feel good, clear space, clear mind. The next thing that I do, number 2 on my list, is a workout routine with a goal. When you have a tangible goal, like wanting to be stronger or get better at a sport or be more agile or be athletic or increase your ability to run further or faster or lift heavier, whatever it may be, it gives you a greater thing to work towards and it challenges you both mentally and physically. Having a consistent workout routine with a goal also shows you that you can show up for yourself. It helps release endorphins, it builds mental toughness, and it...
I recently discovered this really cool supplement. You guys know I'm always up to try new health and wellness things, whether it be the supplements I'm taking, the way I'm eating, how I'm moving my body, the little wellness practices and habits and rituals that I'm integrating into my day-to-day life. And I've been taking this supplement MitoPure from Timeline for the past few months. And it's really cool because it helps with muscle health, recovery, strength. And you guys know that I'm so adamant about training for health, for endurance, for athleticism, and also for longevity in my life, to be able to still have good mobility and movement as I continue to age. I think it's really important to take care of your health when you're young and you still have it and to not take it for granted. And I feel like MitoPure is the perfect supplement for that in my life. It is super easy to take. You can take 2 soft gels a day for as little as 2 months and start seeing significant improvements in your cellular energy, muscle strength, and endurance. After around 4 months, which I'm hitting around that point right now, you'll feel yourself getting stronger, recovering faster after workouts, which is so key, especially with me who cross trains all the time. And you also experience less inflammation. That's something that I struggle with a lot, especially if I'm training more intensively. And I feel like I've definitely have noticed a difference. My fingers are less inflamed. I feel like my face is less inflamed. my muscles recover so much better from workouts. So if you are curious in learning more about MitoPure from Timeline or trying it out for yourself, Timeline is offering 10% off your first order of MitoPure. You can go to timeline.com/Alana. That's TIMELINE.com/Alana, ALLANA, for 10% off your first order of MitoPure. Thank you, Timeline, for sponsoring today's episode of Morning Ray. I swear me and my girlfriends are always talking about this, and maybe I just live on the side of the side of the internet that everyone is just trying to figure out their cycles. Like us as girls, we are trying to figure out our cycles, whether we're on birth control or not, whether we're coming off of birth control and we're just trying to figure out our cycles, cycle sync, you know, figure out the hormones and whatnot. There's so many different methods and it can definitely be confusing and draining, and there's so many side effects and symptoms that come along with things just feeling a little out of whack. And I know I've been on a journey to manage my hormones and find a better way to just like manage my PMS and feeling just not like myself. And that is why I started taking Hormone Harmony. It contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. You guys know I love my adaptogens, and here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes or just life as you know it. And Hormone Harmony can really help with racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, everything you think of when you think of your hormones feeling all out of whack, it can help. And you'll feel like yourself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Alana at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Alana for 15% off today. Thank you, Happy Mammoth Hormone Harmony, for sponsoring today's episode of Morning Ray.
Built efficacy. It means that I have the power to make things happen that I want to happen, and that ripples into the rest of your life, into your career, into the decisions that you make. If you prove to yourself that you can, one, keep a promise to yourself, two, show up for yourself, three, work towards something, and four, achieve that thing, that will enable your confidence, your self-esteem, your belief in yourself, your self-efficacy to go out and do those things in other avenues of your life. I really do think growing up and being a competitive dancer and having this level of discipline and showing up for myself and my team really rippled into the way I went about school, the way I went about getting jobs afterwards, the way I approach my career now, even though I'm no longer dancing. And I feel like I've maintained that through continuously setting goals with my workout routine and my workout plan to enable that to continuously happen and to always be working towards something outside of my career. A goal can literally be to sign up for a race and work towards training for that 10K race, that 5K race. Or maybe you want to bodybuild and that's your goal. Or maybe you want to become really good at Pilates. So you make sure that you are doing mat Pilates and reformer Pilates and are really consistent with it and are continuously challenging yourself. Maybe you want to feel really strong, so you're going to continuously up your weight in the gym with proper form. Maybe you're going to work with a personal trainer. Whatever it is, have a goal that's not a vanity goal. I don't want it to be to lose weight or be a certain size in your clothing or anything like that. I want it to be like, I want to feel strong. I want to be agile. I want to increase my endurance. I want to increase my stamina. I want to learn a new sport, a new skill. Maybe you want to do rock climbing. Something that isn't attached to a vanity materialistic thing. It's more so a feeling and an ability. On to number three, learning how you work best. Learning how I worked best has changed everything for me. Obviously, when you work for someone else and there's limitations and constraints surrounding like your work schedule and when you have to be in the office and when they expect you to work, obviously work within those constraints. When you work for yourself, you obviously have a bit more autonomy over this. I personally find that I work better in short bursts of hyper-productive, efficient work rather than keeping myself chained to my workspace for 8 hours a day from 9 to 5, whatever it may be. I find I'm more productive in the mornings and then taking a break in the afternoon and then getting back to it in the evening. Honestly, most people do. I think it's a stat or something, but just figure out when you work best, prioritize getting the bulk of your work done, even if you work in an office and are obligated to be there for certain hours. Like, figure out the times of the days when you are the most productive and try to get the most amount of work done at its highest level within those hours. And then you can take it a bit slower in the other hours. Obviously, again, I don't know the circumstances of your job, I'm generally speaking, but I even did this when I was working a 9-to-5. I also find that different work environments work best for me for different things. When I was in school, I never liked studying in libraries. That did not work for me. I did not like the dead silence. It just felt so sterile and cold, and I preferred to be in a coffee shop where there was chatter, more movement. I still love to do my work in a coffee shop. So just like figuring out what work environment works best for you. And even if you are in an office, maybe a standing desk is better for you. Maybe you want the option to move around. Maybe you want a walking pad or something like that. Figure out what will make your work environment better. Is it a better desk? Is it a better chair? Is it having multiple screens? Is it having a stand for your laptop? Whatever it is, figure out the work environment and the needs that you need in order to work better, and it will really make all the difference. I think if you work at home, having a designated workspace in your home is super important, and keeping work out of the bedroom. I no longer bring my laptop into my bedroom. I want to say 99% of the time. I couldn't tell you the last time I brought it into my bedroom. I don't work from my bed. The only two places I work from are my dining table, because that's my desk. I don't have room for a desk in my apartment, unfortunately, and my couch, which I'm actually sitting on right now. I like to sit at my desk or the couch, preferably the desk, honestly, when I'm working, so that my mind can associate work with just that location. I don't want my mind to associate my bed with work, because then it will make it really hard for me to rest. Obviously, there are exceptions to the rules. Sometimes I do work in bed or on my couch, etc. But I really like to tie work to a certain place. So whether it be your office, a desk, a location in your home, whatever it is, just try to keep it separate from the bedroom and separate from the places where you rest and recover and recharge. The fourth thing that I do is prioritizing a work-life balance. This is something that is a non-negotiable for me. I've been to the points where I am stretched so thin. I have minimal time for myself. When I was in school full-time, I was working full-time, I was doing influencing on the side. I had just moved out. I had like negative time for myself. I was always doing something, and I felt like I could never switch my mind off of some type of work, no matter what it was. And I think it's really important to figure out what your work-life balance looks like for you. It's going to look different from yours to the next person, to your partner, to your sibling, to your friend, and even in different seasons of your life, your work-life balance is going to look different and feel different. But learn how to unplug. Learn what re-energizes you and grounds you. Do things that bring you joy in your time off of work, whether it's cooking, picking up a hobby, reading, being outdoors, exploring, trying new spots in the city, whatever it is. Spend time with friends, family, and loved ones that energize you and make you feel really good. And it's also important to learn how to set healthy boundaries when it comes to work. You are allowed to go offline. I don't care if your boss makes you feel like you can't. You are allowed to set that boundary and communicate that with your coworkers, your boss, if you feel comfortable in doing so. But I think you should stand up for yourself and build that esteem and that confidence to be able to communicate what you need in order to be able to show up for your job and show up for yourself. If you are constantly letting people walk all over you, you are going to burn out so quickly, and you're not going to be able to excel in your career in the way you want to. And it is necessary to set that boundary between work and life. Leveraging your out of office response on your email, putting your phone on do not disturb, not having your work email on your phone, taking care of your health within this time of this like work-life balance. So when you're off of work, going to therapy, taking care of your hygiene, eating properly, even when you are working as well, obviously. Hydration, sleep hygiene, making sure you're getting good quality sleep, enough hours. You should be getting between 7 to 9 hours per night, although apparently, recent studies are saying women need 9 to 11 hours. Working out, moving your body, stretching, taking advantages of saunas and ice baths and red light therapy if you can. Obviously, these are extra things and not everyone has access to them. But just like really prioritizing that work-life balance and taking care of yourself. It is so important. You need to learn what that boundary is and be able to communicate it to your boss, to your coworkers. It's a really important skill to have, and it is one that needs to be set. You are allowed to set a boundary between your work and your life, and you are allowed to take time for you. Reminder, you can't pour from an empty cup. And the last thing is independent learning. Yes, learning. Encourage yourself to learn outside of your career, outside of your job, whether it be reading, listening to podcasts, taking a course, picking up a new hobby, doing one of like those Google certificates, LinkedIn certificates, maybe signing up for a club or being a part of a society or something, maybe joining a book club. It helps you find passion outside of your career. You can also apply what you learn in your independent learning to the way you approach your work. Maybe it's a self-improvement podcast and you learn a different way to see the way in which you approach work and take care of yourself, or maybe it's a skill from something else that you can apply to your job in a different way. It is important to continuously challenge yourself. I personally think this. Sometimes work can become really mundane and we complete things on like autopilot. You just go through the tasks and day to day of your job. It can get pretty repetitive in a lot of careers, which is why it's so encouraged to dedicate time outside of your job to think outside the box and challenge the way you think and see things and approach things. It can help keep your brain actively challenged and stimulated. And I don't know, like I even know this like in my career, like I know I don't have a super complex job, but if I'm not continuously challenging myself in other ways outside of my job, like I get bored. I feel dumb. I feel stupid. It's almost like when you're in school, your brain is super stimulated and constantly challenged and pushed to its limits. And then when you take summer break off, you almost feel kind of dumb because you haven't been using your brain the same way. Your brain is a muscle. You have to use it in order to grow it and to continue to have it. You may feel slower. You may have brain fog when you're not doing this. So I think it's super important personally from my own experiences to be curious outside of your job, to take time and learn something. And it doesn't have to be like in such an academic setting. Like it can be if you want it to be, but it can be as simple as reading a nonfiction book or listening to an interview on a podcast. Like I love listening to Skinny Confidential. I love listening to Mel Robbins. I love reading self-improvement books. Whatever it is, do something to challenge the way you think, to make you a little bit uncomfortable, to put you outside of your box, out of the comfort zone, to push the limitations. And you will realize how much this will actually better yourself for your career and push yourself in different ways. To summarize everything that we have spoken about, and I swear every single time I think this is going to be a longer episode, it's only been like 30 minutes. So short and sweet it is with me over here. The five things I continue to do to be successful, and this is what I have been doing for the past, I want to say 2 years since I've been self-employed. It will be 2 years in October. So these are the things that I find through trial and error have been the things that really help me continue to be successful and feel motivated and show up in my career. I've been out of school for 3 years now, so this is what I do. So a consistent morning routine, working out, having a workout routine that has a goal that's not a vanity goal. So getting stronger, being more agile, being athletic, being able to run faster, run farther, lift heavier, whatever it is. Learning how I work best. So whether it's in the morning, the afternoon, in standing, sitting, taking breaks, working for 20 minutes, taking a break for 20 minutes, working with sound, working without sound, noise cancellation, whatever it is. Prioritizing a work-life balance and learning how to set and communicate those boundaries and stay true to them. And encouraging myself to do independent learning outside of my work, finding time, even if it's 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes a day, every other day, just doing something to challenge the way in which I think, see, communicate, and act is super important. But I hope that this episode was helpful for you and that there are hopefully some takeaways for you to apply into your life. And let me know if you try them out and if you enjoy them. I'm super excited to document and share everything with London and Italy on the podcast, on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube. So if you're not following me on all my socials, it's at Alana Bloomberg. As always, I'll also be updating my Goodreads if you want to follow along on what I'm reading. Me and my friends started a little book club between the four of us. I think the book we're reading is Swan Song, but I'll double check on that. Anyways, I'm super excited to share all my travels this summer. I haven't traveled in a hot second, so I'm super excited to be somewhere new and share that experience with you guys. So definitely stay up to date with that. There'll still be podcasts while I'm away. And I love you guys so much. See you soon. Bye, guys.